the names of God. God, Lord, Lord, Jesus, Father.
When you hear these names, what comes to mind? Wonder, awe, fear, excitement, all of the above, perhaps. Hello, this is Bill Wright. Thanks for joining us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Today, Don shows us that as believers, our hearts should skip a beat when we hear God's name, and that it's only when we begin to discover the meanings behind His name that we'll be able to connect with God in a deeper and more profound way. Friend, right now, here is Don to kick off our study in the Truth Pulpit.
Exodus chapter 6. This is so incredible. This just opens up so much of Scripture to us. Now, in chapter 6, verse 2 of Exodus, God spoke further to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord." There it is, all caps. "I am Yahweh. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty." See, there's a distinction here. I disclosed myself as El Shaddai, God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. And so there's a further disclosure in the name Yahweh that isn't necessarily wrapped up in the name El, or God. And in verse 4 he says, "I established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned." Verse 5, "I've heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." Now watch this. This is really important. "Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptian, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you will know I am Yahweh your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Watch this. We're talking about the name of God. We're talking about the God that most of you in this room would say you have been brought into union with Him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are talking about the name by which God has revealed Himself, and He who is your Lord, your Master, your Savior, the most central person in your existence that ever could be. We're getting to the very core of who He discloses Himself to be. If you're a Christian, this is essential to know what God says about Himself by nature of using this name. Well, in what we just read there in Exodus 6, He says, "I am Yahweh." And then He goes on and talks about deliverance. And so the name Yahweh is expressing God's redemption and His loyal love to His people. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, as we add a little bit more, a few more ingredients to the mix here. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. Exodus 20, verse 2. Notice how He ties His name to redemption, to deliverance. Oh, this is awesome. Exodus 20, verse 2, He says, "I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And so, the name Yahweh, their God, their mighty one, Yahweh, their mighty one, is the one who redeemed them. Yahweh then is intimately bound up with the idea of God's redemption, God's deliverance, God's power to bring people out of slavery and into freedom. Yahweh expresses that. And yet, there's more. Look at Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. We've probably looked at this in the past. I've referred to it on multiple occasions in different locations. You just gotta see all of this, beloved. This is not difficult, it is not complicated, but you need to see it and pull it all together. In chapter 33, verse 18, Moses said, God, I pray you, show me your glory. Show me your glory. In verse 19, God says, I'll do that. And here's what he said in response to that request. Here's what I'll do to show you my glory. He says, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim what? The name of Yahweh before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show compassion on whom I show compassion. Yahweh tied up now with the idea of His grace and His compassion. Now drop down to Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Verse 5, I should say. Exodus 34, verse 5. Yahweh, Lord, all caps, descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon what? The name of the Lord. And then Yahweh, the Lord, passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Moses says, show me your glory. The Lord says, I'll display my name to you. And when he displays his name, what is revealed? What unfolds about the nature of God in association with his name, which is a disclosure of his own very character? Grace. Compassion. Slow to anger. Loyal love. Truth. Forgiveness. This name Yahweh is indicating, get this, it's indicating that God is a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping Redeemer for His people. That is what is revealed by the name Yahweh. And so, whereas the name El says that God is powerful, Yahweh shows him to be faithful and gracious and a God who keeps his promises to his people. El says, as we saw earlier, that God is transcendent beyond our comprehension. Yahweh speaks to the fact that he is a God in relationship with his people. That he works in creation on behalf of his people, that he delivers them from bondage. He delivers them from slavery. He shows them loyal love and grace and faithfulness, which they could never deserve. In theological terms, Yahweh speaks to the immanence of God. Not immanence in the sense that something will happen quickly, but immanence in the sense that God is near, that God is present with his people. And so the name God in English is expressing the fact that God is transcendent over all with power. Yahweh adds to, supplements that revelation and says, while he is transcendent, he is with us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I fear no evil, for you are with me. The Lord, Yahweh, is with me. Therefore, I fear no evil. Why? Because as Yahweh, he is a faithful, covenant-keeping, loving, gracious, forgiving, providing God, who is present with his people in the midst of the unfolding of their lives and of world history. And so, as we put this together, the God of power is also the God of promise. To know this God is to know one who is transcendent and yet unspeakably near. Who is full of power and yet is full of grace. God, Lord, all caps, reveals that to us. Well, with that in mind, go back to Psalm 16. The depth of this, the richness of this, just draws us, it draws us with a compelling magnetism to worship. This is it's like we are steel and there's just this strong magnet drawing us to Him in the way that God has revealed Himself to be. Psalm 16, verses 1 and 2 again. Preserve me, O God, preserve me, El, for I take refuge in You. I said to Yahweh, You are my Lord. I have no good besides You. You're my Lord. Capital L, small letters, O-R-D. Different word in Hebrew. And it's easy, I sympathize with you. It's easy for the English translation to make things confusing. The reasons for that are a subject for another time. But here in verse 2, we see a third name for God in the capital L, small letters, Lord. This is the Hebrew word Adonai. Variations of this particular word occur 770 times in the Bible. And the root of this word refers to humans with authority. Humans with authority. There's an idea of authority that is built into this word. In Genesis chapter 18, Sarah calls her husband Abraham, my Lord, recognizing his authority over her as her husband. A form of this word is also used to refer to the master of a slave in Exodus chapter 21, verse 5. That helps us understand the concept behind this word Adonai when an emphatic form of this term is applied to the living God. Adonai, my Lord. It is emphasizing, watch this, it's emphasizing in a special way His authority over the one who is speaking. When David refers to Him as Adonai in Psalm 16, verse 2, watch this, it's beautiful. He's saying, God of power, Yahweh of promise, I recognize Your preeminence in my life. Lord's, capital L, three small letters, O-R-D, is an expression of the God of preeminence. God of power, God of promise, Adonai, God of preeminence, if you're taking notes. And so it's invoking the sense of obligations and duties. David is speaking to this God of power and this God of promise, watch this, from a position and a spirit of submission and trust. You're my Lord. You're the one to whom I am accountable. I recognize Your authority over my life. I own You as my master. I submit to that. I am not a rebel as I pray to You. I'm not insisting on my will as I come. I come in submission and independence to You, my preeminent one, my Lord, God of power, God of promise, You are my King. And as you put all of those things together, beloved, you can see how profound David's prayer is. Look back at Psalm 16, verse 1 again. Preserve me, O God, God of power, for I take refuge in You. Use Your power to put me in a place of security. I speak to my covenant-keeping God. I speak to this one who has manifested Himself as ever faithful, ever full of loyal love, steadfast love for His people. I say to that God, You are my Lord. I am in submission to You. I recognize Your authority over my life, and I gladly receive that authority and submit to it. And he goes on there in verse 2. We'll repeat some of this just for the sake of the fullness of teaching the psalm in one setting. I have no good besides You. Nothing else in life compares to the treasure that You are to me. God of power, God of promise, God of preeminence over my life. David is addressing this transcendent God and reminds him that He is a promise-keeping God, and that David owns Him as his personal master. We can read these two verses in in 5 seconds, and usually we probably do. You're just going through and blurting through it and, you know, trying to keep pace with your Bible reading plan. Fair enough, I do the same thing. But when we slow down and enter into the spirit of what David is saying, we realize that he has just laid out in these two verses a whole perspective, a complete perspective on the way that we should approach God and honor and hallow His name. To respect Him and to tremble before Him as a God of power, to draw near to Him as a God of promise who is faithful to His people, and to have the sense that this powerful, promise-keeping God, I gladly enter into submission and remind myself and consciously subjugate my heart before this great, preeminent, promise-keeping, powerful God. And from that perspective, to humbly ask, oh God, preserve me in my life. And we'll see how that preservation plays itself all the way out, even into life and death and eternity. But as El, God is able to give shelter. As Yahweh, He has promised to provide. As Adonai, David submits to Him. And from that informed posture, he asks God to protect him. Beloved, do you see that David is praying in a serene and confident manner, born out of a true knowledge of God? Now, to bring this into New Testament focus as we close here, what I'm about to say should be another 60-minute message. But in our Lord, here now after the cross, 3,000 years later, after the coming of Christ, after the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, and His session in heaven where He intercedes for His saints without ceasing, in Christ, in that Christ, God's name is brought near to us. Look at John chapter 17. John 17, verse 6. And I'm not at all doing justice to this. I just like for us as new covenant believers to go out on the name of Christ. In John chapter 17, verse 6, Jesus praying to His Heavenly Father, the same El Yahweh, He says, I have manifested Your name to the men whom You gave Me out of the world. They were Yours and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Notice, beloved, Jesus is referring to the fact that He, in His incarnation, as He walked among His disciples, He manifested the name, He manifested the character of God before them. In His teaching, in His miracles, in His character, everything about His incarnation was a manifestation of God to them, because He is this God of whom we've been speaking. But I want you to notice something today, that in no lesser of a way, through the written revelation that we have from God, this precious word which we kiss in love and submission, in no less of a way, He has manifested the name of God to us today as well, by making the name of God known through the pages of Scripture. Now look down at verse 25 here. Jesus praying, O righteous Father, although the world has not known You, yet I have known You, and these have known that You sent Me. And what had He done? As He closes this great high priestly prayer, He says, I have made Your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which You loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus says, I've completed My work here on earth. I have made Your name known. This great name of God, which bursts the capacity of human comprehension to understand the greatness of power, the greatness of promise, the greatness of the implications of His preeminence on His life. Christ says, I've made that known. And beloved, this is a whole separate 60-minute message. gathered up into one or two sentences. With fear and trembling, with love and adoration, based on the authority of Scripture, we realize that our Lord Jesus has so completely saved us through His life and His shed blood on our behalf. So completely has He reconciled us to this Yahweh, whom we call Adonai. So perfect was His work. So great is the love of God for His people in this New Testament, New Covenant era, that we now call Him by the name of Father. How can we measure the greatness of what Christ has done for us? This transcendent, immanent God is now belonging to us in a relationship where Christ commands us to address Him as Father. How great is the salvation that God has granted to us as His people? How perfect a redemption that this exalted God we would be in a position to come to and address as Father, the one who loves us and protects us and guides us far better than any earthly father ever did or ever could. The names of God. God. Lord. Lord. Jesus. Father. Friend, if you don't know this God, let these names of God draw you to Him through faith in Christ. He calls you through this disclosure of His name to say, I will be a saving God to anyone just like you if you would come to Me in faith. This God offers Himself to you in the person of Jesus Christ. For those of us that know Him, the God of power, the God of promise, the God of our preeminence, our peace, our joy, our confidence, our serenity is found solely in our submission to Him and His faithfulness to be this God to us that He has disclosed Himself to be, all summed up in His great names, God, Lord, Lord, Father. Let's bow in prayer. Our God, You are indeed a great and mighty God, a faithful God. You are a most benevolent King, and it is our privilege to call You as Father. We would struggle to do that, Father, if not for the fact that our Lord had told us to do so. He said, pray in this way, our Father who is in heaven. We know as Father the One who has been revealed by these great names. We honor You and we worship You, and we pray that Your name would be hallowed, that Your name would be revered, because only that response from humanity is appropriate to the greatness of who You are, great in power and great in love. Our Father, we adore You. We worship You. We honor You. We lose ourselves in the greatness of the magnitude of Your majestic being. And we thank You for Your loyal, faithful love. Let the depth of who You are take root in the depth of our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, we're so glad you were able to join us today here on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green. On our next program, Don will continue in our series called Something About That Name, with a message titled That Majestic Name. We hope you can join us then. Now, if you've missed any part of today's message, you can listen again by visiting thetruthpulpit.com. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. And by the way, if you're not currently part of a home church fellowship, or you aren't able to attend church in person, Don has some great news for you.
My friend, if you enjoy these broadcasts, I am sure that you would enjoy the live stream of our church services from Truth Community Church. We meet Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time and Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. You'll find the live stream link prominently displayed at the top of our website, thetruthpulpit.com. And you know, if you do join us like that, drop us a note at the website to let us know. Even your brief note helps us know that our resources are reaching friends who want to grow in God's Word. Thank you, and may Christ be with you.
Thanks, Don. And friend, I'm Bill Wright, looking forward to seeing you next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.